Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The sun came up today, as it did yesterday.
Here come the drums!
41 Acres, episode numero 10. Landry and Day-Day with you following a Texas loss. It's the first time in a long time that we've had to do this. A lot of people accuse Tom Herman of being a liar around these parts in Houston, but he spoke the truth. The sun did come out. Texas falls to Oklahoma State 38-35. A lot of people upset. I was upset on Saturday. I was pretty pissy with a lot of people that were all of a sudden texting me coming out the woodwork. But I got to tell you, Derek, as much as it sucks that Texas lost and as much as it sucks what I had to watch on Saturday, I at least feel good that at least the disappointment is back. Texas isn't back, but the disappointment over winning what feels like a big game is at least back. And I guess that's the one good thing I can take from this loss.
Well, I don't know about that, man. I mean, anytime that Texas loses a game of this caliber, man, when you come in and you jump from number 9, you have a bye week and you get to number 6, you know, you got to finish that deal, man, against the Oklahoma State team, man, that honestly, you know, haven't really had a great season, man. You know, Texas on a roll. You know, I mean, those guys seem like they were still on the bye week, man, in that game, man. I don't know what the hell happened, man.
Well, we do know what one thing that happened is that Tom Herman had to hand out some suspensions before the game on Friday night. He handed out the suspension to Chris Boyd. He handed out the suspension to Davis. And he handed out the suspension to Lil Jordan Humphrey. A lot of people were critical of that decision. Tom Herman says, despite the fact that the team gave up 260 yards, in the first quarter and they fell behind 17-7. If he had to do it all over again, he would do the exact same thing.
We have standards to uphold, and when those standards aren't met, then there's consequences for that. And you know, when you ground your kid, it doesn't mean you love him any less. It doesn't mean your feelings have changed for them. We love Chris Boyd and we love Devontae Davis. We love LJ Humphrey. Absolutely. They made a minor mistake that you know, has to be reinforced. Our culture needs to be reinforced on a daily basis so that, you know, moving forward, especially our young guys know that it doesn't matter who you're playing or what your name is.
Where do you sit on this? Because this is my thing here, Derek. I think when you're trying to establish a culture like Tom Herman is, I think that I don't have any issue with suspending these guys. And let's just keep it real. It's not like when Chris Boyd came back in the game, he looked like Deion Sanders or something like that. He looked like trash. And I know he took exception with Emmanuel Acho saying that, and he decided to go on Instagram and call him out. We'll get into that a little bit later, but he looked like trash. And as long as you're focusing on the player and you're not getting personal with the young man, if he's playing like trash on national TV and he's willing to take all the shine that comes with being a player, if an analyst who used to be a player calls you trash, you were trash. I don't think it should really get you that upset like it did Chris Boyd.
Well, my whole thing is, and you know, hey, any of my followers out there that follow me, I know you follow me, Landry. I know you seen the tweet. I put it out there, man. I mean, I called Brick out. You know, I called Chris Boyd out. I called Brandon Jones out. I mean, I called several of those guys out, man. Those guys just didn't show up, man. They didn't come to play. And, you know, Chris Boyd taking, having a problem with Emmanuel Archer say that, I totally, understand your point. Like, dude, his job is to analyze the game. His job is to see, you know, to critique the game. And that's what he did, man. I mean, hell, it was no different than, he didn't say anything that we as fans wasn't thinking that night any freaking way, man.
And if Chris Boyd didn't think he was trash, then he needs to look in the mirror. And Chris Boyd went on Instagram after Acho said what he said. Before we hear what Chris Boyd had to say on Instagram, this was Acho after he called him trash, after he got a lot of hate. He was critical of Tom Herman for making the suspensions as well. This is the former Longhorn linebacker, current ESPN analyst, explaining himself as as to what he was thinking as he watched that game and why he hated the decision to suspend Boyd Davis and little Jordan Humphrey.
Devontae Davis, Chris Boyd, as seniors, they cannot be late to the meeting. It's inexcusable. There's no place for it. Yes, they should be punished. My issue is with the punishment. At the point in which you suspend them for a quarter, and Texas gives up 260 yards in that quarter, more than 50% of the yards they gave up all game, there's a direct correlation between those players being benched and how bad Texas performed. It doesn't matter how badly those players performed when they got in the game, because yes, Chris Boyd did not play a great game at all. Secondly, when you bench those players, you're trying to make a statement or maybe even a culture shift. But in all honesty, an 18 to 22-year-old kid is not thinking about the repercussions of his action when he acts. When you're in college and you sleep in and you miss class, you're not thinking about the fact you might miss the pop quiz. You're thinking about the fact that you're tired and you don't want to go to class. The brain's not even fully developed till 25.
All right, so Acho put out that Chris Boyd was trash, and Chris Boyd went to Instagram, and he has since deleted the post. Go figure. You put something out there, it's out there. Don't even waste time deleting it, because it's still going to be there.
Yeah, trust me, I know.
Yeah, I know you know. This is what Chris Boyd had to say on Instagram, hearing that Emmanuel Acho called him trash. Keep running your effing mouth. Don't show up around this facility. You was warned at practice. Running your mouth further than your football career took you. You an outsider just like everybody else. UT football has no affiliation with you. I take exception with that for a couple of things. Number one, Tom Herman talked about it on Monday, and he said that basically that was Chris Boyd expressing that no outside voice matters. It's only on the inside that matters. Those are the only voices that matter. This is my problem, Chris Boyd. You let down the people on the inside when you decide to show up late for a team meeting off of a bye week a couple days before your team was going to face Oklahoma State in the biggest game the program has had in maybe 8 years. It's been a long time since Texas has had a game of that magnitude. You're supposed to be a senior leader. You're supposed to be a guy that these guys look to. So you can't really play the whole all that matters is what's inside when you do what you did that led to that suspension.
Man, hey, I echo your sentiments 10,000%, man. I mean, you have to understand the position that you're in, Chris Boyd. You have to understand that you are a leader of this team. A lot of collegiate analysts NFL scouts are looking at you, you know, supposedly to be, you know, an NFL draft pick, man. And this is what you do. Again, coming in at number six, man. This is, and I'll be honest with you, Lance. I give Tom Herman his staff a pass as far as this go, because, you know, some people say, well, is the coaching, or they were ill-prepared coming into this game, and you know, this is clearly on the players, man.
I didn't feel that way.
This is clearly on the players,
man. It's easy for fans to say, and it's easy for analysts to say, well, they just weren't ready to play, or they're not playing hard. They didn't come out. They weren't giving effort. I was watching the whole game. I watched every snap of the game. And there are times where you watch a team play and you say, you know what, they've quit on their coach. They're not ready to play. They're not ready to come out. They were just getting their ass kicked.
They were getting their asses kicked.
They were just getting their ass kicked.
That's all it was.
And it happened when Boyd came on the field, too.
And Chris Boyd, in particular, like I was going to say, I mean, you know, we'll get into some other players that had horrible games or whatever. I'm pretty sure you know who we're alluding to, you know, as well. But, you know, Chris Boyd, you know, let's be frank, man. You sitting up here, you talking all this shit. But the bottom line is, you were Wallace's whole game, man. The whole game, you know, this dude was murdering you the whole game. Hell, it doesn't matter about the suspension, you being suspended for the first quarter, man. Hell, when you came in, you didn't do shit.
You got Moss too. You jumped early.
This dude clowned you the whole game, man.
You look like a mental midget now too, for lack of a better term.
Exactly.
You look like not only are like, just look at the three things that Chris Boyd has done in the last 5 days. And you and I came on the air in episode one, and I said I couldn't believe Chris Boyd thought he could go to the NFL after his junior year. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. And just look at the three things that he has shown, the three important things that he has shown the last 5 days. Number one, you've shown that you show up late to team gatherings before big games. You've shown that. Number two, you've shown that after you serve the suspension for that, you go out on the field under the bright lights, prime time, ABC, and you get your ass kicked. by Oklahoma State and the receiver. And number three, you've shown that when you get criticized for showing up late and getting your ass kicked, you act like a mental midget and you tweet at an analyst, basically threatening him when he comes to the facility because you can't take the heat. That doesn't sound like a future NFL player to
me.
Not
at all.
There's nothing there. There's nothing good that he did in all three aspects. Leadership? No. On-field performance? No. And then the ability to take criticism? No. What exactly is he trying to gain by this? This is the worst. This is arguably, and Chris Boyd has had some bad weeks. There was a week early on where he went in and tweeted in the locker room about Texas A&M or something like that. You're a senior and you're doing the exact same type of stuff that you were doing as a freshman. And that is a bad look for what's supposed to be a senior leader of a team that had, take it with a grain of salt, college football playoff hopes, because that's what they had. He should be ashamed of himself right now. He owes his teammates an apology. I think he owes Emmanuel Acho an apology as well, because I don't think it's right what he did, but just an overall terrible performance by Chris Boyd this week.
He has to be better, man. And I mean, again, you know, Texas coming in, man, I keep stressing the point. I mean, you're number six in the country, bro. You're number six in the country. You started off the year at what, 23?
Yeah, 23-24. Like, and it was a courtesy thing. And you lost. And you lost and you worked your way up.
You jumped, man, all the way to number six, bro. You have a legitimate shot at the college playoffs, man. I mean, you win this game, man. Okay, you have West Virginia, and we'll get into that, you know, a little later in the show. But you have West Virginia coming in or whatever. But, bro, this game right here was a huge momentum shift for the University of Texas, man. You know, you have to be better than that, man. Chris Boyd just has to be better than that. If you want to call yourself an NFL player, again, you want to call yourself a leader of this team, a person that you want these younger guys to look up to, you have to carry yourself in a better manner than that, man.
And this is why a lot of people just want to get rid of the Charlie Strong era. And it was such a bad era. It was so forgetful. And Chris Boyd's one of the pieces there. And when it seems like things are going the right way, he completely wets the bed. I'm not a huge fan of it. I don't like that he did that. But speaking of, you know, just this Texas team as a whole, Tom Herman said something on Monday that I think that we've kind of touched on. This Texas team can beat anybody, but this Texas team can also lose to anybody as well, especially if they're not playing their best. This is Tom Herman on Monday.
You know, we're at a point in our program, again, I've said it numerous times, but it bears repeating, that our best is good enough to compete with and beat pretty much anybody in the country. But when we're not at our best and we're getting the other team's best, you know, that's, we're not good enough yet to overcome that. And our guys know that.
And when I take a step back and I look at this team, I can't be that upset, because I never thought they were college football playoff good. I know they had a chance. I know that there were scenarios. I know that their destiny was there. But they still, in the big picture of things, they still control their own destiny. And if they can get into the Big 12 championship game, I'll consider it a success. We looked each other in the eyes after the OU game, and I said that OU was a better team. I said that I felt like Oklahoma was a better team. I still think Oklahoma turning around their defense is the biggest threat to Alabama. Texas gets up for games against Oklahoma. They get up for games at home. They have a home field advantage, but maybe this team just isn't ready to win big road games. I mean, they could have easily lost to Kansas State. They lost to Maryland. They lost this. They could easily be 0-3 on the road. And it's good that they found ways to win games ugly, whether it's on a neutral side against Oklahoma with that meltdown in the fourth quarter, or the home games that they've had with Tulsa, Baylor, all that. But maybe this team just isn't mentally tough enough and they're not ready to win on the road. They fall to 1-2 on the season. But the good news is you have West Virginia coming in and it's a home game, and DKR is a tough place to play. I won't even waste your damn time. They're beating West Virginia on Saturday. Like this, I'm not wasting time. They are undefeated at home. They will remain undefeated at home. They're going to beat West Virginia on Saturday.
Man, Locke, man, you put me in a position, man. After what I
you can we can wait for your prediction. You don't have to throw it out there right now. I'm just telling you, I'm out there. They're a different team at home. They will beat West Virginia on Saturday. I'm 100% confident in this.
After what I saw, man, if they would have had a better showing against Oklahoma State, man, even with a loss. I mean, we just didn't come out there and play, man. Those guys just didn't play. I mean, missing tackles, man. I mean, you know, big third down conversions, man, and we're not capitalizing on opportunities, man. I mean, you know, West Virginia coming in, man, you know, those guys
not
are going to sling
it,
man.
Not
you know,
worried
we'll agree he's going to sling it, man. And I'll be honest with you, I'll go out there, too. I'm going to take Texas in this game, bro. But, I mean, I'm really, really shaky on it, man. I'm really shaky on it after what we saw, man.
Yeah, I just think DKR, I'm going to be out there. I think I'm going to holler at Chris Del Conte when I'm out there. But I'm picking him to win.
And can we please, man, going back to the Oklahoma, can we please get Keontae Ingram more carries, bro?
11 carries. And
11 carries,
that's
bro.
One of the
can
main complaints we got.
It,
yeah, my prediction last week, on the radio, which is what I go by, I picked Oklahoma State to win the game. On this podcast, I said Texas would win by a touchdown, but I said Keontae Ingram would have 100, 150 yards. He only got 11 carries in this game.
11 carries, bro.
And
like,
to me,
can you believe it,
that's
man?
That's very discouraging because I have high hopes for him, but at least he's the best Texas running back in the last 6 years. So
oh, wow.
I'm okay with
hey,
that.
Man.
I'm okay with that.
Wow. Hey, you know, hey.
Kirk Herbstreit,
like Kirk
Herbstreit said,
man.
Kirk Herbstreit
like
said,
that.
He apologized to Deontay, but he
oh,
said.
Oh, really?
That,
I
yeah,
missed
yeah,
that,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, he apologized. Kirk Herbstreit during the game said that.
And that was so funny. Hold on, before you go there, that was so funny because. He and Chris Fowler and Corso, they were all at the Doak Walker Award when Deontay, you know, they were all in Dallas. We were all together in Dallas, man. And for him to say that, bro, was just like, wow. And as everyone can see, man, Deontay took offense to that, man.
Deontay
and
took offense.
He likes Keontae Ingram, man, but he definitely took offense to that,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, because Herbie said it during the game. He said that this was the best running back Texas has had in 5 or 6 years. Your son then kind of called him out on Twitter and said, how soon they forget. And Herbie, he said, that's all on me. I forgot you had a great career. So he did apologize for it, but it was pretty funny to see that. But this kid deserves more than 11 carries. But yeah. when you fall behind 24-7, it's hard to really just commit to the run game like you'd like to. But 11 carries is just, it just doesn't seem like it's enough for me. And the offense, for whatever reason, there, a couple times some calls went against him, but the offense just wasn't where it needed to be on Saturday. They still had a chance to win, but the most costly play to me came on special teams at the end of the game when you have an opportunity to go down there and win the game down three. And
Brandon Jones
decides to field a punt inside the five and gets tackled at the 1 yard line. That was where the game was lost because I don't think there was a doubt in my mind that if Texas gets a touchback there, and Ellinger has a chance to go win the game, I think they go win that game.
Man, hey, speaking of that, you know, Sam, man, I can't say enough about this kid, man. I mean, if you look at his maturation, man, from last season to where he is now, and I know we've talked about it, we've, you know, commented on it, you know, in earlier shows on the podcast, man, but this I like Sam, man. Sam is doing some things, man. He's not costing Texas games, man. He's making plays.
He's not turning the rock over again. He still hasn't thrown a pick since Maryland.
Man, so, I mean, the dude is efficient, man, at what he does, man. You know, some of those guys just are not helping him out, man. We had, you know, Colin had a big drop. LJ, you know, had a big drop as well, man. I mean, and Sam putting the ball on the money, man. You know, this kid is all right, man. He's all right.
He's going to be very good, but that Brandon Jones play was a gut punch. If you look at the box score, it looks like this guy had a good game, but if you actually watch the game, Breckenhager was terrible here. This was actually a borderline career game for him in the box score, despite the fact he didn't have a sack. I think he had like 9 tackles in the box score. I don't know who was keeping score. Maybe it was his uncle or something like that. But Breckenhager, I first of all, before we get to the actual play, the at the end of the game, when he called out the Oklahoma State player and went at him and started the riot, it was so bad that even his roommate and teammate, Andrew Beck, called him out. This was Tom Herman asked about Andrew Beck calling out Breckenhager and whether or not he supports Andrew Beck calling out Hager publicly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think, especially when it's something like that. My 88-year-old grandmother knows that you're not supposed to do that. We instruct our guys, when you're asked a question, answer it honestly.
That was absolute garbage. Like that was a chump way to go out by Breckenhager. It was embarrassing. It was unnecessary. And you know, this guy, even when he's getting in the backfield, he's missing tackles. He's
over pursuing.
He's not in control of his body. He's overshooting the quarterback. He's overshooting the running back.
Doesn't know when to break down, man.
I got in a back and forth with some guy who I guess was on the Cowboys practice squad for a couple years or something, trying to tell me that Breckenhager was playing stuff the right way, and get the hell out of here. Like,
what
anyone
freaking
with ice,
game is he watching?
I don't know what he's watching, but he was basically just trying to be I played the game guy, and I don't even know who he, I forgot what his name was, but he DM'd me and was trying to like offer like a film session. I don't need a film session. I can get film sessions anytime I want, but anyone who's watched this game, anyone who watched this knows that Breckenhager was awful here. He was terrible, and all these tackles he got and tackles for loss was a result of Oklahoma State being up big and basically just running these fake zone reads and him being able to go back there and like trip the guy up every once in a while. It was pathetic.
Sadly, man, you know, and I tweeted this out, you know, right after, you know, the end of the game with that play. Sadly, that was the most aggressive I've seen him all year. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it's like he shot to the backfield. The play was dead, but I don't know, man, wants to show this. Like, where was this all season? Where was this on the field, bro? Be productive. I mean, you know, you might have a career, bro, as a WWE, you know,
wrestler.
SmackDown wrestler or whatever the case may be, bro. But a football player, hell no, bro.
And it's really embarrassing because I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone when I see, you know, the local media talk about this young man, and I hear the coaches talk about him. It's almost like the Twilight Zone or like that Jim Carrey movie, The Truman Show, where everybody's just basically against you and they're trying to make you think something. I've watched this kid play. It's sad seeing him out there. He has a shoulder injury, so hopefully he's okay. Hopefully he's all right. I wouldn't wish that on anybody,
right,
but
right.
Damn, man, it's hard to watch Breckenhager play. And it makes me more upset because he owns real estate in my head at this point, to where I just get so frustrated seeing the hype that this kid gets for what he actually is. He did the interviews with Fowler and Herbstreit and all them before the game. Go interview Gary Johnson or something like that. Go interview someone like that. Like, just because the dude looks different, and just because his dad's a legacy and he has the blonde hair, he's not the guy you need to be interviewing. If you want to interview anybody on this defense, go to 33, because 33 straight up brought it the other day. He's been bringing it for a long time.
33 has been bringing it. Gary Johnson, man, this kid shows up all the time. And I mean, I had someone tweet at me and you know, said, you know, something that was, you know, negative towards Caden Stearns. Is a true freshman.
He's a freshman,
man.
Dude.
He's a true freshman. I mean, he's gonna go out. He's gonna make mistakes. Even, I mean, I'm not giving Foster a pass, man, because
that,
Foster
that
has
third
to make
down, that.
That
third down was one of the biggest missed tackles as well, because
yeah, he has to make that.
You're
tackle.
Gonna have another chance to come back. It's third. It's third, and I believe it was goal. It might have been third and goal, or it was third and close to the end zone. And he reads it perfect, and then he goes inside a little bit, and then Oklahoma State scores the touchdown that ended up being the go-ahead touchdown that, or they were already ahead, but it was basically what put Texas away. He's got to be better than that, but he will be.
I mean, he's a true friend, but I mean, that was your shot at the QB right there, man. That was your shot, man. You have to knock him on his ass, man. You can't allow that. You know, and he was right there. I mean, back there in position to make the tackle, man. So we understand this kid is a true freshman, and you know, I know that this kid is going to be nice. He's going to be ready to go. You know, he still have his career in front of him, man. But in that particular moment, man, that's when you show up. That's big time plays, and you have to be able to make those type of plays, man.
All the freshmen do. I remember when Aaron Ross and Cedric Griffin and Terrell Brown and Michael Griffin,
doubt.
They were all young.
No doubt.
Those guys missed tackles early too, but damn, BJ, you know, that was a play that he would like to have back. I'm sure he's upset with himself, but this wasn't lost by BJ Foster. This was lost by your leaders.
Why in the f*** is PJ Locke even out there, bro? Why the hell is this kid even out there, bro? What does he bring to this team, bro? Really, what does PJ Locke bring to this team, man, besides green eyes? What the hell does this guy bring to the team, man?
I think it's just his sure tackling, I guess. I don't know. He can't cover. He got a little hobbled up because of that close sidelines, but These older guys, they stick out like sore thumbs because they're just not as talented as, you know, the Stearns and the Fosters.
But Brandon Jones, number 19.
He's a good player. He made a bad mistake. He'll come down. He's made some big plays this year. He's made some huge plays this year.
Right. I think he'll be all right. He'll come down. He'll hit, man. He needs to work on coverage as well. You know, to a degree. Obviously, you can always get better, but yeah, PJ Locke, man. I mean, he can't cover a dead person with a blanket, man.
The next thing we got to get to the West Virginia game and the overall picture of the program. Is there anything else you want to add about this Oklahoma State game? Because I just want to put it behind me. I'm through with it. I'm not too disappointed because my expectations weren't CFP. They've always been get into the Big 12 title game. But is there anything else you want to add on this Oklahoma State game?
Cause I'm disappointed about it, man. I'm disappointed in, you know, like I said earlier in the podcast, man, I this is not on Herman, not having those guys prepared. I don't think that, Herman and his staff, you know, did anything differently this week that they would normally do.
It's a garbage take when people say they weren't ready to play. They were fine. They just got bullied.
This was on those kids, man. And when you've lost for so long, and a lot of these guys have lost, you know, for a long time, man. You know, Chris Boyd, obviously being one of them, you know, even dating back to the Charlie Strong era, you know, and you finally, you're on the cusp. You're number six again, number six, man. You know, Ohio State takes a big loss and, you know, you jump, man, and all of these things, man, and you're number six in the country and you're, for the most part, man, you're writing your own ticket, man.
And really,
and you drop an egg like this, bro. It's unexcusable.
Even if you don't want to look at the CFP, you can just look from a Big 12 perspective. I mean, if you want to get in that Big 12 title game, you know, you don't want to lose a conference game. And this is what they lost. I know a lot of Tom Herman was trying to say this team's good. You know, Oklahoma State's all right. I don't think Texas. I guess. I can say that I don't think they should have lost this game, but they did, and that Oklahoma State was the better team. I can't say that.
Someone told me
on
Twitter, man, to mention the Big 12 officiating once again, man. It seemed like strange things, man, always happen, you know, when Texas and Oklahoma State meet each other, man. The officiating, man, I mean, there's some questionable
calls
out there.
There were some really
bad calls. The phantom call against Patrick Vahey that negated negated the first down to LJ, you know, in the middle of the field, bro. That was huge, man.
Not only
that. That was huge. We had to punt after that, bro.
They called a hold on back that you could call every play where it was a 40-yard throw to Johnson that negated that.
There was a lot of
weird stuff going on as far as calls. It seemed very selective, but you know, if the Big 12, I would assume that they want Texas to win these games. So as bad as the officiating looked and as bad as it was, I don't feel like that's what decided the game. What decided the game was the fact that you just didn't make the right plays and fielded a punt inside the five when you had a chance to win, and it's just going to be a tough one to take, and I guess it's just on to West Virginia.
Yeah, we put a bow on this Oklahoma State game, man, and you know, so we're going on to West Virginia, you know, after losing a game like this, and then you're going into West Virginia, man. What is your mind state going into West Virginia?
We've watched every snap of them this year. I didn't feel like Texas was the sixth best team in college football.
Is Clemson the number two team in the country?
No, hell no. That's garbage. They should.
Hey, that's why I asked that question, man. You know, you said that about Texas, man.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
if Clemson played Oklahoma right now, and I put a gun to your head and said, "You better pick the team, or I'm gonna blow your brains out." Who you picking?
It's Oklahoma. Oklahoma, no doubt. No doubt.
I'm picking Oklahoma, and I'm making dinner reservations for tomorrow. I don't even need to watch the damn game. Like Oklahoma, with a new they're averaging over 9 yards a play right now. Like,
yeah, man, their running game is on point.
This
man,
is what they do. They have a slip up, and then they finish the season strong, and they get into the CFP. Like, Oklahoma is a better. Oklahoma, a one-loss Big 12 champion Oklahoma team is better than Clemson. Just what it is.
No doubt.
Quite honestly, I would have to think about it. I think Texas could compete with Clemson too. Straight up, I really, really do. They don't have electric quarterback play. The rest of the conference is bad. Florida State's one of the worst teams I've watched all year and one of the dumbest too, from what I watched last week. And this Clemson team, we saw them last year against Alabama in the college football playoff. They lost 24-6. if Clemson gets in again, that's exactly what's going to happen. Half your college football playoff viewing, whenever it is, New Year's Eve, whatever they do it, it's ruined because Clemson can't compete with those teams. They're right now, they benefit right now from being in the conference they're in with the ACC. The ACC is an absolute disaster. And I'm not sitting here saying the Big 12 is a mini version of the SEC, but what Clemson's going against and what they're doing, not impressive at all. I don't think they're good at all. I think they have a cute defense. I think they have some playmakers, but this Clemson team is very beatable.
Let me ask you this. And getting back to the Longhorns, man, someone asked me this. I was having a conversation, actually at work. I was having a conversation, man, you know, with a friend of mine who's advocate, you know, Longhorn fan, man. Do you think that Texas, not to slight Texas, man, you know, by any means, but do you think that Texas is doing, is kind of a product of bad quarterback play in the Big 12,
yes,
man?
Yes, absolutely. That's why I picked him. Look, that's why I picked Texas to win the 10 games I did, the 9 wins and then the bowl game, because you look at what happened last year. Texas does deserve a lot of credit for being able to win the games against Tulsa, Kansas State, Baylor, Oklahoma that they could have easily lost. But in the past, they weren't winning those games. And you can go back as early as last year. They weren't doing that. So they can at least do that. But yes, do I think that Texas is benefiting from some inexperienced quarterback play around the Big 12? Yes, but that's not going to be the case this Saturday when Will Grier comes in West Virginia. A lot of people are worried about that. For some reason, I just can't make myself be concerned about Will Grier. West Virginia is a different team on the road. If this were in Morgantown, I wouldn't be this confident, but Texas right now, 5-0 at home. West Virginia's 1-1 on the road. And they beat Texas Tech and kind of struggled with them. And Texas Tech had their backup quarterback in. The quarterback went out, and they had to bring their backup in, and they won by 8 points. West Virginia is a different team on the road, and Texas is very, very good at home. They're undefeated. It doesn't get much better than what they are right now, 5-0. So you're going into that rowdy atmosphere. You beat West Virginia, who has one loss in conference play. You're in the driver's seat with 3 games remaining. Iowa State also has to come to your place. Kansas has to come to your place. You got to go to Lubbock. That's a tough one. This team's right there where they need to be. They're competing for the opportunity to play in the Big 12 championship game. Well, if I would have told you before the season that was what was going to happen, I think you would have been pleased.
And we talked about this in episode 8, that I felt like that Texas would win out. You know, I definitely didn't see this loss coming to Oklahoma State.
I saw a loss, but I thought the loss was going to be in Lubbock.
Oh, you really think Texas Tech?
Friday I talked myself into thinking that that Oklahoma State would beat Texas just because I started thinking more about it. That was the loss that I saw them having.
Lubbock is a tough place to play, man. They're not a bad team, man. They're another team that can sling it all over the place. You know, Texas has, Tech has been, you know, criticized, obviously, you know, defensively, you know, for years, man.
They're better now, though.
You know, but they have stepped up, on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Cliff Kingsbury, he's going to have the quarterbacks there. He's going to have that offense, clicking on all cylinders, man. The reason why I'm questioning, and again, I'm taking Texas in this game, so let me make that, you know, very clear. But, you know, looking at our secondary, man, I'm not.
I mean, we've been concerned about that when they were winning.
Man.
I mean, we've been concerned about the secondary when they were winning. I mean, there were plays against USC and TCU where the biggest problem with the secondary that I have right now is I think they're having to that they're not a. I don't think it's a very good secondary. It's not great. It's not awful, I should say, but the front seven's not pressuring the quarterback, and the quarterback just has all kinds of time.
Yes.
And that's the biggest problem, and I think that's what's stopping Texas from being elite, is they don't have a good front seven, and they don't have guys that get to the quarterback. So that could be a concern for West Virginia. West Virginia, right now, they're 15th in the country in yards per game, and they score 40 points per game. So it's a high-powered offense, but again, 1-1 on the road, Texas 5-0 at home. Hager, is he going to play? PJ Locke, is he going to play? It might be on the little guys.
It doesn't even matter, man. I mean, hell, those guys are non-factors anyway, man. So I feel like, hell, you and I could go in there and make a couple of stops. Worried about, you know what I mean? I hope that they're
probably
okay. I hope that Hager's
okay. I don't know if
okay.
I could, though.
I hope that, that, you know, both of those guys are okay, man. But I mean, even when they're on the field, man, they're non-factors. So I feel like, you know, hey, tomato, tomato, man. What's the difference, man? Let's, you know, get some of these younger guys in there, man, and give a look at you know, see what they can do, man.
This is where I have to see more Keyonte Ingram. I have to this week.
Yeah.
Like, I know that Herdman wants to run the ball. I know he says he wants to run the ball. I need to see Keyonte Ingram out there. I need at least 20 carries. I need 19 is his career high. I need a career high in carries, and I need you to keep this defense off the field for a little bit. I need to keep this West Virginia offense on the sidelines, and I need to keep this Texas defense off the field.
Clearly, man, this kid Keyonte Ingram, you know, we like the vision, man. We like the jump cut, the way that he's patient. He's kind of a patient runner, man. Well, I mean, this kid has to get 20 carries, man.
It has to happen.
He has to get 20 carries.
It has to. You need to equalize the game out, and you need to give him the ball. I thought it was going to happen last week. It didn't happen. Obviously, there were different circumstances. Obviously, you had a chance to win the game, so I can't criticize it too much, but he has to get the rock. Speaking of the last game, and this is the last we'll talk about the Oklahoma State game, Mike Gundy, after the game, he was asked about the noise on Twitter and what goes on in social media, and he dropped this gem right here that I think everyone will enjoy.
From where?
Twitter, radio.
Yeah. Oh, I give a rat's ass about Twitter. It's a platform for people that are sitting home trolling an unemployment check, sitting in front of a keyboard. I'm not disregarding what you're saying. Trust me, I get it at my own house. But, I mean, I just kind of felt like that social media and Twitter is what's destroying this country anyway. So that's how I feel about it, from politics to sports to whatever. It gives people a platform to and then other people are like needling it, and they're sitting at home and they're late on a payment. So anyway, that's how I feel.
If you come for me on Twitter, bro, I'm firing back at your ass, bro. That's just what it is, bro. Like, you know, hey, because, you know, hey, if you have a difference of opinion from my opinion, that's fine. I don't have an issue with that. If you have this, but I mean, when you're, you know, attacking my kids, or, you know, you're attacking my grandkids, I mean, it gets personal at times, bro. So I'm going to fire your ass up, bro, because I don't play no games when it come down to my family or whatever. I understand, you know, if analysts, you know, I like, you know, Chris Boyd, if analysts are saying negative things about Deonte, if he's not playing well, he's not doing his, this is his job. This is his profession. You know, I critique those kids. I know Chris Boyd. I've had a conversation with him. I've met him, you know, a few times, whatever. Seemed like a cool young man. Brickenhager, you know, seemed like a really good guy. I don't say things negatively about these kids outside of,
you know, the biggest insult you can tell someone, though, is that they're a nice guy, because there's always a but after that.
Well, no. Those kids are nice kids. I strictly grade these kids, or I strictly comment and analyze these kids on what they do on the field. Now, you know, again, and this was off the field, but it's still all intertwined with Chris Boyd, you know, being the leader that he is, man. He has to make better choices off the field.
He does. He does. But in the big scheme of things, what happens on Twitter doesn't really matter. I think that's Mike Gundy's point. Like, you don't need to get too worked up about it. And a lot of times there's people with screen names and hidden identities sitting there running their mouth, talking all this hot crap.
You shouldn't talk to screen names. If you're going to sit up here, bro, and if you're going to come at me and you're going to talk to me on Twitter, bro, you know, then, hey, don't hide behind whatever. You understand what
a
I'm saying?
Have a fake name, right, man.
Have a picture up there with him. My picture is up there. It's not hard to find Day 409, man. It's not hard to find me, bro. I'm there.
Let's do the first mailbag that we've done. This is going to be a mailbag. We've had the biggest guests. We've had Vince Young, Ramonce Taylor, Eric Metcalf, Chris Del Conte, the athletic director,
Rod Babers,
Brian Jones, Rod Babers multiple times. He's a regular guest of the show. Aria, the rapper. I don't even know. Am I leaving anybody else out?
I think that was everyone, man.
Plenty of people.
Everybody. The fact of the matter is, we have some good goddamn guests on this show, man.
Yeah, and we're gonna shout out to
Landry on that. I want to say this right quick, man. I understand that it's Landry and Day Day, and this, you know, I'm the co-host in this thing or whatever, man. But Landry Country is the guy, man, that runs this ship, man. You know, I follow his lead, man. And, you know, sometimes we may bump heads on certain things, you know, before the show or, you know, certain things leading up to the show, man. But I have so much respect for this guy, man. He gets the guests on here, man. He does what he says he's going to do, man. I feel like, you know, together, man, we have the number one podcast out there again, man.
There's
subscribe
no competition.
On iTunes,
no
man.
We 41 acres.
We giving y'all some real over here, man. We not sugarcoating it, man. We again, shout out to my boy Landry Locker, man, for doing this thing, man.
Shout out to my man Derek Foreman for shouting me out. This is the thing, though. Like, I think a lot of people that do these podcasts, they're kind of, I find it comical that there are some Austin beat writers that don't understand that Chris Boyd deserved to get called out by, and I guess Justin Wells is one of the guys, but Justin Wells tried to call out Acho, and I think it's absolutely ridiculous to call out Acho for saying that play was trash. If he says that it was trash, he's talking about the play itself. He didn't say anything personal about the guy. I know I said this earlier, but it just has to be restated. If Chris Boyd goes back to last week and he goes back to what he did leading up to the game, what he did during the game, and he doesn't think that was trash, that's on him.
Yeah.
That's on him. Because anybody who has any grasp of what he's trying to do, because I feel like Chris wants to go to the NFL. I feel like Chris wants to,
no doubt,
wants to eventually be a leader. If Chris Boyd didn't watch himself the other day and think that describing it as trash is an accurate representation of what it was, then I feel sorry for him, man. Actually, I might not feel sorry for him, because maybe being delusional is a good thing for him, because he doesn't have to actually look in the mirror and realize. But Emmanuel Acho knows he was trash. I'm sure Tom Herman,
man,
knows he was trash.
Longhorn
Nation. He just got to bounce back.
Longhorn Nation knew that he was trash, man.
He's just
got to
bounce
before,
back.
If you're in a position like that, man, where you have 100,000 fans, you know, out there and, you know, you have, you know, X amount of people watching, you know, on television and so on and so forth.
600,000 alums.
Yeah, I mean,
Chris DelConte told us last week, 600,000 alums.
600,000 alums, man. I mean, you know, you have to be better, man.
Are you
going to
complain when you have a good game and everybody tells you how great you are?
Right, and
like
exactly.
When you're walking around town in Austin and maybe they pick up your bar tab or they tell you how great you are, they tell you how much they appreciate you, like after any of the six games that you won previously, you complain about that?
Going back to 2016, man, you know, the game at Kansas, man, where Deontay, you know, fumbled the ball twice, man, you know, even after all those carries, you know, he still holds that till this day, man. He still takes accountability for Charlie Strong getting fired. It may not all be,
well, I'm
you
glad
know,
he
his
did
fault.
That. But, I was glad he fumbled.
What I'm saying is, with all of the praise and all of the accolades that he would get, you know, he understood, man, hey, I you know, even with all these carries, or whatever. And yeah, it was a lot of carries, man, but I have to be better in these situations. And that's all that I'm saying. Chris Boyd, if you're inspiring to be an NFL player or whatever the case may be,
we already know he is.
You have to be better in these situations on the field and off the field if you consider yourself a leader of this football team.
Exactly.
Man.
And by the way, I love that Deontay fumbled that. To me, it's one of the top – no, I'm serious. It's one of the top five best plays of the last 15 years for Texas.
Oh, man, you're such an ass, dude.
I'm being serious. No, I was pumped that he did it. I was tired of that Charlie Strong stuff, man. No, I was really happy he fumbled that. I think, you know, Vince's run in the end zone, I won't go through the whole list, but Deontay's fumble – top five got me a new coach. For real. I'm not even playing. You're laughing. I'm not even playing.
This is the crap that I have to put up with.
I'm not even playing. I'm not even playing
all the time, bro.
I'll tell him when I'll tell Deontay when I see him. I'll say, hey, I was glad you fumbled. Thank you. Thank you for the fumble.
Charlie, you know, in Charlie's defense, man, I'm not defending him. You know, over there, man, in South Florida, man, he was undefending. U of H, you know, got the best of him.
U of H is favored in the game too. Yeah, good job.
I mean, you know, Charlie, you know, he's doing his thing over there, man.
Yeah,
so,
he's doing his thing.
Shout out Charlie Strong.
Yeah,
anyway, so moving on, man.
Last weekend. We're going to move on. We're going to move on to the mailbag. I'm serious about the fumble, man. I was happy about it. We're going to move on. We appreciate the input. We're going to try to do a little bit more of this, but we're going to do our first mailbag, our first 41 Acres mailbag. answering your questions. And then we'll get out of here with a prediction on Saturday's game, even though we've pretty much already given it.
Right.
Question number one, this is from Edward Vargas. He wants to know, why was there no urgency in the fourth quarter on offense? They wasted so much time. Disagree. I thought the urgency was fine. I think if Brandon Jones doesn't field that punt inside the five, that, you know, I think Texas goes on and wins this game. He could be talking about when there was 5 minutes left and they scored with about 2:10 left. But at that point, I think they were just trying to get in the end zone. I had no problem with the tempo and the urgency in the fourth quarter.
I had no problem with that either. I actually saw that tweet too. I think he tweeted that at me as well. And, you know, I was just kind of puzzled by that. I didn't think that it wasn't a sense of urgency as far as that go. But again, we thank you, man, for shooting the question to us, man.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Min Nguyen wants to know, will you eat pizza now? I guess they're talking about Pizzagate by me boycotting pizza after the Maryland report from Bruce Feldman that Tom Herman apparently ordered pizza. I ate pizza the day after they lost. I ate pizza on Sunday, so that's already happened. Terrence Malone, why does Hager still get playing time? I have no idea, dude. Your guess is as good as mine. Swervin06, at Swervin06 on Twitter, 11 rushes for Ingram, totally unacceptable. Why didn't they run him more? Would have given the defense a chance to catch their breath in the first half. Preaching to the choir there. I think we both agree with that, and we expect to see 20-plus for Ingram on Saturday against West Virginia.
Hopefully, man. Hopefully.
At Reppin B of A 22, what the F was I watching last night? Because that was not the team I saw against Oklahoma. They were on the road. Oklahoma was a neutral site. This Texas team is just a different team at home and on neutral sites. I think it's just a young team in a tough environment, doesn't really know how to win, and they just came up short. I think you're going to see the team that you saw against Oklahoma this Saturday against West Virginia. TC Wilson. All right, this is a long one. I'm not sure quite what he or she is getting at. The defense didn't travel on this one, regardless of two starters not playing. They shouldn't have been able to hit the wide open receivers in the first half. How does Frankenstein for a quarterback run like that on us? Plenty to learn from and correct on to West Virginia. Actually, I can't disagree with too much there. You got anything to say on that?
No, I agree with that as well.
At low 24F, a.k.a. Frankie, this team has been way too penalized this year. Are the coaches to blame for the lack of focus? I'll be happy if we win out, but honestly doubt it's going to happen. Tired of losing to teams we should blow out. What do you mean you're tired of losing to teams they should blow out? They've lost to Maryland, and they've lost to Oklahoma State. This team is 6-2.
If you're going to, you know, tweet at us, man, and we don't have a problem with you guys tweeting at us and asking questions, we encourage that. Let it make sense, man. Let it make sense, man. Don't just, you know, tweet at us just crazy stuff. Yeah, we're 6-2, man.
They lost in like a few months.
Exactly, bro. You know, someone tweeted, you know, Tom Herman, Tom is the leader. You know, those issues are ultimately on him. 18 to 22-year-old kids are going to push the boundaries. There's nothing new, and every team deals with it every year. Tom chooses to make it public, so be it.
So he said he's against the suspension is what he's saying.
Yeah, basically, yeah. You know, against the suspension, saying that, you know, 18 to 22-year-olds are going to be 18 and 22-year-olds. My response to that is, you know, hey, yeah, you're 18, you're 22, or whatever case may be. You know right from wrongs. You know what team rules are, you know. And if you, again, and we've been, you know, beating this dead horse, man, but it just needs to be said, when you consider yourself a leader of a football team, you know, you're a veteran of a football team, you know that this team counts on you week in and week out, you have to be better. So the 18 to 22-year-old, you know, mistake or whatever the case may be, like that's out the window, man. You're a ball player, man, and you know what your responsibility is to this football team, to yourself, to your family, to your fans. You have to be better.
Frankie wants to know once again. He wants to know why Boyden Davis missed the whole quarter and Lil Jordan only missed one drive.
Yeah, I don't know.
That maybe they showed up at different times. Maybe it was something different. Maybe there was a repeat with Boyden Davis. I don't know. I can't answer that question.
I don't think it was a favoritism thing. Like he's, you know, maybe, you know, kind of allude to a little bit. You know, I don't think it's a favorite to the team. I actually agree with you. I think that maybe it could just be different circumstances.
He also wants to know, do we have anyone better than Locke and Hager? They are trash. This is my thing. I think B.J. Foster's already better than Locke, and I think we're going to see him playing a little bit more safety despite his mistake. Hager, I don't really know if they have anyone better, but I do know when they limited his snaps in recent weeks that they were playing a lot better. So I feel like he was out there a little more against Oklahoma State. The box score says that he played good, but your eyes tell you he played bad. So I don't know if they do have anyone better, but I do think that B.J. Foster is better than Locke. And finally, Landon Riddle wants to know, and this, I'm sensing a theme here, Day-Day. How and why does 44 play? We basically roll with 10 on defense.
Yeah, I got that tweet as well.
I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, that's, you know, hey.
I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
I don't know what to say, man. I don't know what to say about that. You know, let me ask you this question. Someone, you know, asked this question on Twitter as well, and we'll end the mailbag, you know, on this next year. And
you're already going to next year. It's like that.
It's kind of crazy. Well,
this is what we're doing?
Bro, hey.
Come on, man.
If they pose a question
Texas
to me,
Texas fans are getting out of control when they're good. This is the only thing that I don't mind about sucking is that I don't have to deal with as much irrational Texas fan stuff. What is that? What are we talking about next year for?
He was saying,
come on, man.
I think it was a couple of people, you know, on this, but I think that it had to be flagship. Texas at Texas flagship or at Hook'em 6-9. The seniors are lacking. So you think the defense will be better next year? Y'all better enjoy this season because I think reality is about to slap us in the face next year.
So he's saying that they're going to miss the seniors?
Yeah, that's what I'm taking from it, man.
I disagree
with that, too. I mean,
I think it's going to be addition by subtraction. Yeah. I think he's going to keep recruiting at a high level. I think that they'll continue to get JUCO guys or whatever they need to do. I don't think just look at who the seniors are. We don't need to name them anymore. We've been hard enough on these kids.
Yeah, right,
but just look at this roster and look who the seniors are, and you tell me who I'm going to miss too much.
Well, we know that the youngsters are the ones, man. Outside of Gary Johnson, man, the youngsters are the ones that's actually, you know, the underclassmen are the catalyst for this team, man, offensively and defensively.
Yeah, and teams reload. When you recruit at a high level, you reload. So I'm not worried about next year. I don't look at these upperclassmen and think very much of them, and I think they'll reload. Anytime at Landry Locker at Day-Day 409. You know what time it is.
Prediction time, man.
I've already made mine clear.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You said that you're taking Texas in this game. You can't leave out of here without giving me a damn score, Locke.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and say that Texas wins this game 34-28. Keontae Ingram, I said it last week. It better damn sure happen this week, or I might come in here a little bit more mad than I was this time. Texas beats West Virginia 34-28. They improved to 6-0 at home, 7-2 overall, and three games remaining with control of their Big 12 championship destiny, which will be held December 1st at Jerry World out in Dallas-Fort Worth. Texas wins, Keontae Ingram shines, and West Virginia goes home with their tail between their legs.
So just like that, huh?
That's how it is.
Man, I'm going to take Texas again in this game. I think Texas will bounce back after the loss last week. I think it's going to be a close one, man. I think it's going to be a close one. I'm going to say Texas pulls it out by a touchdown, man. So I'm going to say 42-38, man.
42-38,
man.
Okay. Yeah. So you got it. Yeah. We're in the same ballpark. Yeah, just got a little more scoring.
Yeah, 42-38, man, because West Virginia is going to put up points, man.
Maybe.
They're going to put up
points. I think they're soft. We'll see. We'll see. Let them know what you know each week. Day-Day, let them know.
Man, y'all know what it is, man. 41 Acres Podcast, the number one Texas Longhorn podcast out there, man. Make sure you guys subscribe on iTunes. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all, man. And as always, hook 'em.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.